Good morning. This is a place of love. This is a place of worship. This is a place where we honor and praise the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a place where we bear one another's burdens. So we welcome you to Little Hickman Christian Church. And may God bless you while you're here and after you leave. This is also a place where we pray for one another. And we take time to mention some of the people who need your prayers. We have several who are under extended treatment for serious medical issues, so this part of the prayer list doesn't change much from week to week. We have Bud Jeanette and Darlene Elliott being treated for cancer, Keegan Guy for leukemia, and we have three stroke patients who are on the road to recovery, Kathleen Baker, Fran Bain's mother in Virginia, Debbie Gardner, who's Billy Fount's niece, and Chris Christie, who taught in the Jessamine school system for years. Chris's wife, Rhoda, is also in the Sayre Village nursing home with him, dealing with blood clots. And Chris and Rhoda celebrated this week their 65th anniversary. And it's great that they could be together for that. Brad, let's take it. Charlene Montgomery's mother, Joanne Wilson, is still needs your support. She struggles with COPD and in a serious manner, and we need to pray for her. Lynette Wheeler, who's been our organist, is staying out for a while because she has COPD also. And she sent me a note saying, appreciate the card I received from the church. Let everyone know that I'm better, but still taking it easy for a bit. Miss my church family. So she's thinking of you. Brad Teeter had a heart cath this week, revealed no blockages, which was good news, but he's still not feeling so well, so he has another cardiac appointment this Friday to search further. Jody Vickers is still down with bronchitis. And these are all folks that we need to pray for, in addition to all of our college students who are away from home. And then we have a couple of special announcements. One is Sharon asked for prayer for the folks at the Thompson Hood Veterans Home in Wilmore. They have a number of cases of COVID. And in fact, Tammy, if you works in the office, the department where she works, they have, I think, four cases, and one of them is her boss, who she works very closely with. So just put the whole Veterans Center on your prayer list. And also, the Christmas wreaths that we sponsored last year for the National Cemetery, that's coming up again this year, but they will not be doing all the graves. They cannot have a lot of people down there to do the big coverage. So they will do some, and if there is some specific individual you know who's buried there, please let Gail know, and she will pass on the name. So it'll be a limited placement of wreaths this year, but we can still specify individuals to be treated. Two birthdays to announce. Shelby Montgomery and Ryan Montgomery have birthdays. So we have a 65th anniversary and two birthdays. Now, I don't know what their ages are, but I'm not going to ask. One other announcement I need to make, and that is we have appreciated so much the ability to broadcast our service to the parking lot and and put it on Facebook. But probably November 1st will be the last time we'll be able to do that. So the weather will be getting bad, cold, and we won't have the expertise available to do this. Not because of the weather, but we just... After November 1st, if we'd invite you in to side the church, we have room to social distance, and we just love to have you come, but we won't be able to broadcast as we have been. So keep that in mind, if you will. And remember, this is the day the Lord has made, so let's rejoice and be glad in it. First of all, we pray together. Will you join me? Almighty Father, it's hard for us to comprehend what eternity means. We ask you to give us this morning a glimpse into the incredible wonder of the everlasting life that Jesus died to give us. Open our eyes to the glories of eternity, which make our troubles on earth seem insignificant. Allow us to lay our burdens on you as you've invited us to do, and free us from our sins by your great mercy. There are so many people today around the world who are hurting in so many different ways. We ask you to bring them comfort and hope, and show us how to minister to them in the love of Christ. For we reach out to you in His blessed name. Amen. To keep fresh in our hearts the Savior's sacrifice for us, we serve communion every Sunday. And if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, we invite you to share in communion with us. If you're in your car, our men will come and serve you there. If you will blink your flashers or your turn signal, to let them know you want to share in communion. We're all familiar, I think, with Dennis the Menace. He had this to say about his chatty little friend, Margaret. He said, "Margaret always has something that she can't stop talking about." I suppose we all have a chatty friend, or maybe we are a chatty friend to somebody. But much of what we talk about is not really very significant. The weather, our aches and pains, how our favorite team is doing. You know, things that are not really big. My wife and I used to get together with three other couples once a month, and it became comical how most of our conversations centered around our ailments, our medications, and our surgeries. But as Christians, we have something very important to talk about. The salvation offered to us by Jesus Christ. And that's why we take time every Sunday to remember that He suffered and died to forgive our sins and to allow us to have eternal life. At this table, the bread tells us again that He gave His body, and the cup recalls that He shed His blood to cover our sins. No wonder He said, "Do this in remembrance of Me." It's eternally, eternally important. Jimmy Bowman will lead us in our communion prayer.
Once again, our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this another opportunity this morning to come here, worship Your name, sing songs of praise to Your great name, Lord. Thank You for all the blessings that You've given us this week. We ask You to look after our sick, be with the families that's lost loved ones, be with our men and women to protect this great country and our leaders, especially our president in this difficult times. As we partake of this bread and this cup, which represents Your broken body and the blood shed on Calvary's cross for our sins, Lord, thank You. Amen.
Thank you.
The offering is also part of our worship as we offer our gifts to God. And for those of you in your cars, you may signal in the same way if you wish to share in the offering. Our men will be able to find you. David Bain will lead us in our offering prayer.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and allowing us to wake and be here in your house this morning. Lord, you provide us with so much to be thankful for, and we are grateful for each and every blessing that you provide us with. Lord, we want to especially thank you for this church, our church family, and help us to remember the ones that the past leaders of the church and the past members of the church that has kept it in such good shape for us to come and listen and learn about you and your son Jesus. Now, Lord, as we return a portion of our good fortune to you in this form of this offering, we ask you to lead us and guide us as we put it to use, and may we carry out your will in everything that we do. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I'd like to thank our sound engineer for furnishing us with a wonderful rendition of Amazing Grace this morning, because that's what we've been talking about for the last 3 weeks and again today, and that's very appropriate. He's the one who's made possible our broadcasting and our Facebook, and it's just been a great blessing to this church. And we thank you, Ron. With the able assistance of his brother David, they've done a great job. Christians have always been a singing people, and we're no exception, so let's lift our voices to God, sing some songs of praise and encouragement to one another. If you're in your car without a hymn book, please just try to sing along all the parts that you know. We're going to start with hymn number 324, which is 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus. And we're going to sing just the first and the last verses. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word. just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust Him, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that He is with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, how I proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. All right. And then we turn to number 275, which is, oh, happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. Just again, the first and the last verses. Happy day that fixed my choice on Thee, my Savior and my God. Well might this glowing heart rejoice and tell its raptures all abroad. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. It taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. Rest my long divided heart fixed on this blissful center rest, nor ever from my Lord depart, with Him of every good possessed. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray, and remembered every day. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. Now remember, you can leave your hymn books on the pew when you leave today so they can be sanitized before next week. Our prayer hymn this morning is number 358, God Will Take Care of You. And once again, we'll sing the first and the last verses as we stand. Now, if you're in your car, you don't have to stand. Dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Beneath His wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. No wonder what may be the test, God will take care of you. No matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. Our loving Lord, you are our Redeemer, and you are our refuge, not only here today, but everywhere we go, every moment we live. Our efforts to be holy and righteous always fall short, and we come to you for forgiveness and renewal. And we need you, we need to understand better how we can serve you and what path you would have us take. So open our hearts and minds to your word as now we think on eternal things. We pray always in the wondrous name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, that's a good idea. Thank you, David. The placement of wreaths at the National Cemetery for Christmas. If you have someone you want to specify to have one, the church is already contributing to that project. And so there'll be no cost to you if you want to specify someone for their grave to be decorated. So that's a good point. Thank you. Well, if you're visiting with us this morning, or if you just happen to miss the past three Sundays, we've spent the last 3 weeks with our hymn books in hand as we've been exploring the melody and the man and the message behind John Newton's timeless hymn, Amazing Grace. I think packed tightly into every single verse of this wonderful song is the message of God's grace, a grace that was so astonishing that it changed a ruthless slave trader into a tireless servant of God. John Newton spent the last 45 years of his life preaching the grace of God, which had changed him from a profane blasphemer into a forgiven follower of Jesus Christ. Newton's special joy as a minister was to write hymns to accompany his sermons. Well, he probably just wrote the words, and then they used them with common familiar hymn tunes that they knew. But while the other hymns he's composed have been long forgotten, but Amazing Grace has endured for nearly 250 years. And it continues to encourage and uplift and inspire worshipers all over the world. Within the lyrics of the first verse, you remember, we discover the captivating presence of grace, the compassionate purpose of grace, and the changing power of grace. In the second verse, we found the confusing paradox of grace and the connecting point of grace. And last week, we saw the third verse highlighting the comforting provision of grace and the confident promise of grace. And now we come to verse 4, as it appears in our hymn book. And it may surprise you that what we normally sing as the fourth verse of Amazing Grace was not actually written by John Newton. He wrote his hymn in 1772. But this closing verse first appeared in 1909. Edwin Excel, who was an accomplished composer himself, discovered a version of Amazing Grace that added these lines, "When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing His praise than when we first begun." And Excel admired this version, this glimpse into eternal glory, and so he grafted these lines onto the existing familiar hymn, and we've been singing it ever since. We don't know who wrote it, but like the others before it, this final verse of Amazing Grace opens our eyes to two fantastic aspects of God's grace, beginning with the compelling prospect of grace. The opening lines of this final verse are, they are timeless. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. That suggests a long time, a very long time, and a very happy time. Eternity. That's a compelling prospect, isn't it? It excites our hope, and it defies our understanding. We can't really comprehend what eternity means. If we could envision just a little of what that world will be like, we would no longer fear death. If our limited minds could just manage to hold the briefest glimpse of eternal glory and what that will be like, that would change everything about the way we live now, I feel sure. John Newton had some idea of eternity. He had no problem with death. In fact, in his later life, Newton's letters and his diary entries looked more and more toward the hope of paradise. I expect he could see it just over the horizon as his life was beginning to slip over the horizon. In 1804, he wrote plain words, but very profound words, "Time, how short! Eternity, how long!" His friends noticed a growing tendency toward hopeful humor in John Newton. He once told a colleague that he was packed, sealed, and waiting for the postman. He was ready for heaven. But while he still possessed life and breath, he tended to his beloved sermons and hymns. Amazing Grace, of course, was one of them. And while the final verse that we sing would be written by someone else, Newton did provide three other verses that we seldom see or hear. "The Lord has promised good to me. His word my hope ensures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures." That's good. "Yet when this flesh and heart shall fail and mortal life shall cease, I shall possess within the veil a life of joy and peace." That's good. And the other one is, "The earth shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine. But God, who called me here below, will be forever mine." Forever. Our hearts can hardly even grasp that idea. But Jesus promised it over and over. He said to Nicodemus, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in Him may have eternal life." He assured the woman at the well, "Those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." And he told the scribes and Pharisees even, I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my words and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. Now, I expect many, or maybe most people today, hope for a long and happy life. That's the extent of our vision. But Jesus offers so much more than that. He offers forever. He offers eternity. The promise of eternal life is the heart of our hope. That's what we as Christians long for and look forward to and hope to gain. And living in this world, we begin to feel the pressure, the limitations of 24 hours in a day and 7 days in a week and 4 weeks in a month. And we think, how am I ever going to get everything done that I'm supposed to do? Because of the demands on our time, we should marvel at this gift that God promises us, eternity. No time limits. Because of His promise of eternal life, we have an everlasting hope. And as someone put it, a bubble of delight within us. We're headed for forever. Now the Apostle Paul put it this way when he wrote to the Corinthians. He said, these troubles and sufferings of ours are, after all, quite small and won't last very long. Yet this short time of distress will result in God's richest blessing upon us forever and ever. So we do not look at what we can see right now, the troubles all around us, but we look forward to the joys in heaven which we have not yet seen. The troubles will soon be over, but the joys to come will last forever. Paul knew that nothing in this life was forever. He knew that the hardships he endured were just a slight momentary affliction in comparison to how long he would enjoy the presence of God forever. So he concluded that the troubles of this world are an extremely light burden compared to the eternal weight of glory. Millions, billions, trillions of years don't even compare to the length of eternal life. Peter agreed too. He wrote these words. He said, after you suffer for a short time, God, who gives all grace, will make everything right. He will make you strong and support you and keep you from falling. He called you to share in His glory in Christ, a glory that will continue forever. What really matters, what's really eternal and permanent, cannot be seen or touched or measured right now. But with the eyes of faith, people can look at what cannot be seen. Only with the eyes of faith can we begin to understand that with God's help, the things we do now are eternally important. They determine our destiny. Our hope is not in this world. It's not in the power or the wealth or the comfort we can accumulate in this life. Our hope is in Christ, someone who we cannot see at the present time, but who has promised us eternity. I love how Robert Louis Stevenson said it in his little poem. He said, the stars shall last for a million years and a day, but God and I will live and love when the stars have passed away. Of course, the compelling prospect of eternity raises a few questions. Like, for example, what are we going to be doing for all eternity? The answer to that question And the final ingredient of God's amazing grace is revealed, I think, in the last line of the song, which speaks of the continual praise of grace. What will it be like to experience forever? Well, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing His praise than when we first begun. God is going to grant us eternity to praise the name that is above all names. It's hard for us even to understand that, to comprehend what it would be like to praise God for eternity. Haven't you ever wondered, now be honest with yourself, don't put your hands up, but haven't you ever wondered, when I get to heaven, what will I do? Will I sit on a cloud and play a harp? That's the concept a lot of people have. Will we really be singing hymns for all eternity? Won't that get a little boring? Maybe the idea of praising God forever is sort of foreign to us because wholehearted worship in this world is kind of rare. Not so many Christians have a real biblical understanding of worship and praise. We may need to expand our understanding of worship. Rick Warren wrote a book called The Purpose-Driven Life. He said, you may think of church services with singing, praying, and listening to a sermon. Or you may think of ceremonies and candles and readings and responses. Worship can include these things, but worship is far more than these expressions. Worship is a lifestyle. Someone said this, worship rises up from the heart and spills out over anything and everything we do. In the 29th chapter of Isaiah, God complained about worship that was half-hearted and hypocritical. People were offering God stale prayers and insincere praise and empty words and man-made rituals without even thinking about what it all meant. God's heart is not touched by outward exhibitions. It's touched by inward excitement. God said, these people come near to me with their mouth and they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. What was missing from their worship? What God wants more than anything else is our hearts. Worship isn't just part of your life, folks. It's not just something you do on Sunday. It is your life. The Bible says in the Psalms, from east to west, from dawn to dusk, keep lifting all your praises to God. In the Bible, people, if you read through, you find the people praised God at work, at home, in battle, in jail, even in bed. Praise should be maybe the first thing you do when you open your eyes in the morning. And the last thing you do before you close them at night. David said, I will praise the Lord at all times. His praise is always on my lips. My whole being praises the Lord. And I think everything you do can be transformed into an act of worship when you do it for the praise and the glory and the pleasure of God. Martin Luther said, a dairymaid can milk cows to the glory of God. Think about that. If you've ever milked a cow, milking a cow to the glory of God. How's that possible? Well, by doing everything as if you were doing it for Him and not for us. In fact, that's exactly what Paul says in Colossians 3:23. He says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. Even work becomes worship when you dedicate it to God and perform it deliberately in His presence. And when I first fell in love with my wife, I thought about her all the time. While I was eating breakfast in class, I was in graduate school then, waiting in line at the grocery store or trying to get my old car started, I couldn't stop thinking about this girl. I often talked to myself about her, contemplated all the things I liked about her. And that helped me feel close to Lois, even when we were many miles apart. That's what real worship and praise is all about. I was abiding in her love. Loving the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and abiding in His love. Living there. John Newton loved God. He couldn't stop praising God. He had a lot to praise Him for. But when his sight was failing and his hearing was nearly gone, some of his friends encouraged him to stop preaching. He wouldn't have any of that. He said, what? Shall the African blasphemer stop while he can still speak? He never did stop preaching. He never stopped praising God. And now, I guess if he has joined the heavenly chorus, he never will stop praising God. Let me read you something from the 7th chapter of Revelation. This is what John saw when God gave him a glimpse into glory. One of the elders asked me, these in white robes, who are they and where did they come from? I answered, sir, you know. He said, these are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will spread His tent over them. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Talk about a pleasant prospect. So you see, it's the best loved hymn of all time. And it's no wonder. It may have been written by a former slave trader, but each word comes from the Spirit of God. When it's announced at church, people seem to stand a little taller to sing it, sing a little stronger. And some, including myself, feel that just for a moment, they're catching a glimpse through the gates of heaven by God's immeasurable, amazing grace. If you're intrigued by the compelling prospect of grace, the prospect of living forever, and you want to experience the continual praise of grace, then in a moment we're going to stand and sing this wonderful hymn once again. Sing from deep within your heart. Because when we've been there 10,000 years, beaming as brightly as the sun, we won't have any less days to sing His praise than when we first begun. And His grace will be more amazing than ever. So let's sing together the first and the last verses of number 293, Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but
Will you pray with me? Blessed God, when we leave this place, we know we do not leave your presence, nor do we separate from one another, for we're bound together by your Holy Spirit into one family, members of one another. We pray it will be obvious to everyone we meet that we've been with Jesus, and may we always walk in his love and holiness. We pray to you only in the name of our crucified and risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.